The following is a review of the portfolio management principles designed to address the learning outcome statements set forth by CFA Institute. This topic is also covered in Portfolio Management and Overview. Our first LOS for this topic is to describe the portfolio approach to investing. The portfolio perspective refers to evaluating individual investments by their contribution to the risk and return of an investor's portfolio. The alternative to taking a portfolio perspective is to examine the risk and return of individual investments in isolation. An investor who holds all his wealth in a single stock because he believes it to be the best stock available is not taking the portfolio perspective. His portfolio is very risky compared to holding a diversified portfolio of stocks. Modern portfolio theory concludes that the extra risk from holding only a single security is not rewarded with higher expected investment returns. Conversely, diversification allows an investor to reduce portfolio risk without necessarily reducing the portfolio's expected return. In the early 1950s, the research of Professor Harry Markowitz provided a framework for measuring the risk reduction benefits of diversification. Using the standard deviation of returns as the measure of investment risk, he investigated how combining risky securities into a portfolio affected the portfolio's risk and expected return. One important conclusion of his model is that unless the returns of the risky assets are perfectly positively correlated, risk is reduced by diversifying across assets. In the 1960s, Professors Trainer, Sharp, Mawson, and Lintner independently extended this work into what has become known as modern portfolio theory. Modern portfolio theory results in equilibrium expected returns for securities and portfolios that are a linear function of each security's or portfolio's market risk, the risk that cannot be reduced by diversification. One measure of the benefits of diversification is the diversification ratio. It is calculated as the ratio of the risk of an equally weighted portfolio of securities, as measured by its standard deviation of returns, to the risk of a single security selected at random from these securities. Note that the expected return of an equal weighted portfolio is also the expected return from selecting one of the portfolio securities at random, the simple average of expected security returns in both instances. If the average standard deviation of returns for the stocks is 25% and the standard deviation of returns for an equally weighted portfolio of the stocks is 18%, the diversification ratio is 18 divided by 25, or 0.72. While the diversification ratio provides a quick measure of the potential benefits of diversification, an equal-weighted portfolio is not necessarily the portfolio that provides the greatest reduction in risk. Computer optimization can calculate the portfolio weights that will produce the lowest portfolio risk or standard deviation of returns for a given group of securities. Portfolio diversification works best when financial markets are operating normally. Diversification provides less reduction of risk during market turmoil, such as the credit contagion of 2008. During periods of financial crisis, correlations tend to increase, which reduces the benefits of diversification. The next LOS requires us to describe types of investors and distinctive characteristics and needs of each. Individual investors save and invest for a variety of reasons, including purchasing a house or educating their children. In many countries, special accounts allow citizens to invest for retirement and to defer any taxes on investment income and gains until the funds are withdrawn. Defined contribution pension plans are popular vehicles for these investments. In a defined contribution plan, the individual makes the investment decisions and takes on the investment risk. There is no guarantee of specific future pension payments. Many types of institutions have large investment portfolios. Defined benefit pension plans are funded by company contributions and have an obligation to provide specific benefits to retirees, such as a lifetime income based on employee earnings. Defined benefit plans typically have a very long time horizon. They typically select investments that will most reliably meet the goal of providing the benefits owed to retirees. An endowment is a fund that is dedicated to providing financial support on an ongoing basis for a specific purpose. For example, in the United States, many universities have large endowment funds to support their programs. A foundation is a fund established for charitable purposes to support specific types of activities or to fund research related to a particular disease. A typical foundation's investment objective is to fund the activity or research on a continuing basis without decreasing the inflation-adjusted value of the portfolio assets. Foundations and endowments typically have long investment horizons, high risk tolerance, and aside from their planned spending needs, little need for additional liquidity. The investment objective of a bank, simply put, is to earn more on the bank's loans and investments than the bank pays for deposits of various types. Banks seek to keep risk low and need adequate liquidity to meet investor withdrawals as they occur. Insurance companies invest customer premiums with the objective of funding customer claims as they occur. Life insurance companies have a relatively long-term investment horizon, while property and casualty insurers have a shorter investment horizon because claims are expected to arise sooner than for life insurers. Investment companies manage the pooled funds of many investors. Mutual funds manage these pooled funds in particular styles, such as index investing, growth investing, or bond investing, and restrict their investments to particular subcategories of investments, such as large firm stocks, energy stocks, or speculative bonds, or particular regions, such as emerging market stocks, international bonds, or Asian firm stocks. Sovereign wealth funds refer to pools of assets owned by a government. Next, we are asked to describe defined contribution and defined benefit pension plans. A defined contribution pension plan is a retirement plan in which the firm contributes a sum each period to the employee's retirement account. The firm's contribution can be based on any number of factors, including years of service, the employee's age, compensation, profitability, or even a percentage of the employee's contribution. In any event, the firm makes no promise to the employee regarding the future value of the plan assets. The investment decisions are left to the employee, who assumes all of the investment risk. In a defined benefit pension plan, the firm promises to make periodic payments to employees after retirement. The benefit is usually based on the employee's years of service and the employee's compensation at or near retirement. For example, an employee might earn a retirement benefit of 2% of her final salary for each year of service. Consequently, an employee with 20 years of service and a final salary of $100,000 per year would receive $40,000 each year upon retirement until death. That is, her $100,000 final salary times 2% times 20 years of service. Because the employee's future benefit is defined, the employer assumes the investment risk. The employer makes contributions to a fund established to provide the promised future benefits. Poor investment performance will increase the amount of required employer contributions to the fund.